Please make yourself comfortable in preparation for this meditation, which is a guided practice that helps us to experience and understand the tattvas, the principles of Sankhya philosophy. So make sure your body feels very grounded. You're sitting either comfortably cross-legged with support as you need in any of the asanas for meditation there, or even kneeling with whatever support you need, or you're sitting in a chair and you really feel the alignment, ankles under the knees, feet are supported and grounded. We're all feeling the backside grounded. And as you close your eyes and bring your attention inside the body, just first of all, notice where your attention is drawn. Be with whatever sensations you're aware of. If your mind is quite busy, if it's very, very active, then you may wish to take a few minutes to do a little bit of releasing. You could do the shoulder drops with the out-breath and then the shoulder circles, or any other practice that may help you. But if you're fear, and if this is the case, just pause this recording, do this practice, and then come back to the recording in 3 or 5 minutes' time. And the rest of us, if we're feeling reasonably comfortable, let's just tune into the breath. And as we exhale, just feel that downward sense of energy, the apana that moves everything down and away. Just feel that downward sense of energy with the out-breath combined with the drawing quality of gravity to help us feel so stable, supported, solid, established in our posture. And as you start to feel that sense of stability, on the in-breaths, just that light favoring of the lengthening and aligning of the spine. So just feel the sensation of energy rising up the center of the spine, all the way up through the crown of the head with each in-breath. Energy rising towards the light. And then totally relax and just again feel the sensations of your backside in contact with the support. Notice the sensations of the lips resting together. And then notice that the breath is softened and how it's just flowing with more ease in and out in a natural way. As you tune in and get a sense of the flow of the breath just happening, start to notice the background quietness, this deep, quiet inner presence. Underlying all the movement of the mind, all thought, all passing stream of the content of the mind, underlying all the movement and activity of the body, and underlying all the movement and activity of life, this deep, silent stillness, this presence, as we really experience it clearly in the space between thoughts, we call it pure awareness or pure consciousness. So that continuum of silent inner awareness is always there. It's the substratum of our individual existence, at the substratum of every thing in the universe. And this deep silence, when we experience it in its infinite, unbounded nature as simple, pure awareness, the light of awareness, we call that Purusha. Purusha. You'll hear people talk about Shiva as this Purusha. Silent infinitude, the nature of which is awareness or consciousness. So it's pure light, pure awareness. And because it's awareness or consciousness, it is aware or conscious of itself in every possible way. It's conscious of itself at every point in this infinite field. It's conscious of itself as vast infinity. And as soon as we give attention to this aspect of pure consciousness being awake to itself, there's some movement towards reverberation within this vast, silent, unmanifest field of pure consciousness. You could say pure consciousness is in flow. Now, from Sankhya viewpoint, this is prakriti. Prakriti, literally the nature. So the nature of pure consciousness or pure awareness is this creative intelligence, this creative potential. And now I want you to perhaps recall a moment in your life when you have woken from deep sleep with tremendous clarity. Can you recall a moment where you've come out of deep sleep? It's normally going to be a moment early in the morning, early hours, when we just have this experience of deep, silent inner wakefulness. And then when we're experiencing that stillness, that pure inner wakefulness, in the moment we've come out of sleep, it's followed by an experience of a sensation. It might be we hear the sound of a bird singing outside. It might be the sensation of warmth in my feet or coolness in my feet. So normally when we wake up and we have great clarity of awareness in that first moment on waking, because if you don't have that experience or you can't relate to ever feeling very clear and still in that first moment on waking, then you just have to imagine this. But if we have had the experience of clarity when we first awake from sleep, what we're experiencing clearly is that silent continuum of awareness which is always there, that underlies all the different experiences of our life. So when we first wake, what we call waking up, and we just experience that deep silence before a thought comes, before a sensation arises, we could say we're experiencing Purusha. Purusha is the consciousness that is underlying everything, the eternal witness to the whole dance of life. Ever uninvolved, it is silent, still, pure awareness, unbounded. As soon as we start having any experience, then the subjective and objective aspects of life are activated. From the Sankhya viewpoint, in that pure silence of Purusha, the creative potential of each day and the creative potential of life is always there. This is Prakriti or Shakti. But as soon as that creative intelligence of Prakriti expresses, that is, as soon as there's any manifestation, and in this case, when we're waking up in the morning, that manifestation is going to normally be in terms of some experience of a sensation, a sound, awareness of a movement, something like that. But as soon as something arises, we have the dance of the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. While there's that infinite silence of the lake of awareness, stillness, the gunas are not active. But as soon as something stirs, it's like the still, unbounded lake has its first little ripple, it's a first wave. And that first wave, that first vibration, activates the three gunas. So they are involved in every experience that is possible. And as soon as the gunas are activated, so Prakriti is manifesting as the three gunas, our subjective, we could say it's almost like our subjective apparatus for experiencing the world is activated. So we're lying there in bed, we've woken up, there's this moment of absolute stillness and clarity of awareness, and then we're aware of the song of the birds. Now, from Sankhya viewpoint, how all these tattvas, these evolutionary principles emerge, as soon as prakriti is awakened in the creative dance of life, the three gunas are awakened, and from sattva, the subjective aspects of life are awakened. The first is mahat or buddhi. This is literally, it's the intelligent faculty. Pure awareness of Purusha is pure intelligence. Its nature, Prakriti, is creative intelligence. As soon as that stirs, intelligence becomes intelligent and Mahat or Buddhi is awake. So on the personal level, Buddhi is the discerning faculty of intelligence. So from buddhi, ahamka arises, that is the I maker, the I fabricator or I creator, the I doer. And from that, manas, the other aspects of mind, all the thinking and feeling and imaginative aspects of mind, manas. So these are the subjective aspects, and from this, the five senses are awakened, they come into being, and the five organs of action. So this is, we could say, the subjective apparatus for experiencing life. So we're lying there in bed, we've had our first experience of a sensation, or perhaps the birds, we hear the birds singing. So the sense of hearing, one of the five gyanendriyas, the sense of hearing, hears sound. So sound is what one of the tanmatras, the essence of the experience of hearing. So when our ears, our hearing apparatus, that's the organ for the sense, the gyanendriya, is hearing, And what does it hear? It hears something, it hears sound, it hears vibration. In this case, the vibration is birdsong. Now, that information about birdsong comes to the manas, the mind, and perhaps there's no intellectual discernment, it's just, oh yeah, sound, and then the next sensation through the sense of touch, we're feeling warmth in some area of our body or coolness in the toes. And again, this gyanendriya, the sense of touch, is picking up on the sensation, tactile experience, sensation of touch. That's the tanmatra. And that, so through the organ of the skin, touch experiences these tactile sensations of warmth or coolness in the body. Now again, that information might come back to the manas, and there might not be any involvement of buddhi or ahamkara. However, there could be some involvement of ahamkara and buddhi. So if we feel coolness in the toes, coolness in the feet, we might exercise a discerning thought. I should change the position of the doona or the blanket to keep my feet warmer. So there's some choice, some discerning, and this is an activity of buddhi. If you're sleeping with another person and the covers have come off your feet and they're way over the other person's feet, you might have the experience of ahamkara, the sense of that is personal identity, separateness, and it may be experienced as they have taken the doona, or I need to have more of the doona. I, the sense of I, the ahamkara, comes into activation. Because when we first woke up, just with that clear awareness, awareness is unconditioned. And you may well have had the experience at some points in your life that you've woken up and you don't have any awareness. You haven't actually identified with a sense of self yet. So in that moment or two before ahamkara, before ego kicks in, there's just awareness of sensation, maybe there's a thought, and there's no egoic involvement. But as soon as ahamkara is involved, oh, my job, what time is it? I might be late. So ego is operating in some way. So as soon as we've started to experience the sensory world, the organs of perception, the gyanendriyas, the five senses of perception are activated. We can hear, we can touch, we can see, we can taste, and we can smell. And even that taste might just be the taste in your mouth when you first wake up, or the scent might be, you might pick up on the scent of flowering plants in the garden. It could be anything, or the scent of perfume. It could be anything. But with the senses, if we just understand this, we have the five senses. Each of the senses has an organ through which it operates. So, for example, hearing is the sense. It operates through the ears. And what do we hear? We hear vibration, we hear sound. So there's a subjective aspect, there's the what is heard, and there's the process which connects them here. Now, waking up, you could have had experiences on all the different level of the senses, and this activates thought in the mind. And if the intellect is involved, buddhi is engaged, there's some discernment around something, some distinctions made, some choices made, buddhi is activated. If there's no intellectual activity, it's just manas is operating. And the level of ahamkara will be determined by the sense of I or me or mine. Because if you wake up, sometimes people can go from dreaming to waking consciousness. If you are in a dream and maybe you're in another form. For example, the famous Chinese philosopher, the Taoist thinker, Xuang Tzu, had the dream. He was a butterfly, and when he woke up, he wasn't quite sure whether he was really a butterfly or where he had another form. There's a moment where he's not quite sure of his reality, and this is an experience many people can have when they wake up from dream, that they're not quite sure who they are or what their life is. There's a moment of just trying to work that out. Now, when you wake up from sleep to pure consciousness, so the mind is just still, not having any thought. You've been asleep, which means no thought, and then you go to pure consciousness, just silent stillness, no thought, but awareness, fully awake. Then you're going to have this experience that when thought does arise, maybe there's a moment for identity to check in, for you to work out who you are, where you are in time and space. A lot of people will wake up in the morning and they've just got to work out what day is it, where I'm in, basically where am I in time and space, you know. Is it a work day, what time is it, when do I have to go? There's a moment before ahamkara checks in with our identity. And, you know, just checking in, and are you owning the life and owning the sensations? So you might be able to relate to that experience. Staying present with your eyes closed, just feel the experience of waking up and having the awareness of sensation, and starting to feel awareness externalizing out through the senses. It flows out through the senses. It's gathering information, and that information comes back to the mind, to the manas. Sometimes there's an intellectual choice, a discernment. Buddhi is involved. Other times it's just information comes in and we don't need buddhi to process it. Ahamkara is generally alert. Ego is alert, wanting to own everything, but there can be moments when ego is not involved. Now, as soon as you start moving in the bed, you're activating the organs of action, these five organs of action. So wherever there's movement, the feet, locomotion, they provide that. So the act of moving and getting out of bed, of course, involves one of the important organs of action. But even before getting out of bed, the hands might be grasping at the sheets or blankets and adjusting them or taking them off us in order to prepare to get up. The mouth might be active. Maybe there's something that's said to somebody else. And of course, when we get up, many people, one of the first things they'll do is they'll go to the bathroom and they'll eliminate. And so organs of action that are related to elimination are activated. Urogenital track the excretory functions, etc. And perhaps for some people, if it's a couple, they might have the other organ of action activated in the morning if they were having a little sweet love. So the five organs of action can kick in pretty quickly. And for us to be doing anything in the world, the five organs of action are involved. Now, just to summarize, so we've woken up and we've experienced Purusha, a silent inner pure awareness, which we had that moment of when we first awoke. It was very quickly overshadowed by the activity of Prakriti. And Prakriti expressed as the three gunas, and the three gunas expressed, first of all, sattva expressed as the awakening of the intellect, buddhi, the ego, ahamkara, manas, and then the five organs of perception, the gyanendriyas. And what they're experiencing in the tanmatras, the subtle essences of the five great elements, the mahabhutas. So when the ears hear sound of vibration is that tanmatra. When the skin, the sense of touch, is feeling tactile sensation that is touch, is the tanmatra. When the eyes are seeing sight, that is form, rupa, they're experiencing light as form, a sight, that sight or form is the tanmatra. When the tongue is tasting taste, taste as the object is the tanmatra. And when the nose is smelling fragrance, odor, smell, smell is the tanmatra. So we've woken up, our subjective apparatus is starting to experience the objective world, and the objective world is experienced through the tanmatras and the five elements. So when, as soon as we start interacting with everything from our bed to all the different sensory experiences till we get into the bathroom and we're maybe interacting with others, we're in the field of the five elements. We're experiencing solidity wherever the earth element is present, sensations, experiences of solidity, supportedness. Perhaps we hug someone, whether it's a child or an adult, we hug someone, and the sense of being held is the earth element. The sensation when our feet get out of the bed and we're standing on the floor, that sensation of stability is the earth element. We're experiencing the earth element in all the structures of the room, the house we're in when we wake up. We're experiencing the water element in any fluidity, not just the water we use to bathe in when we wake up, but in fluid movement, in fluid emotions, flowing emotion, any of these experiences, the water element. Whenever we're experiencing transformational energy, fire element is involved. So it's very involved also on the level of perception and intellectual digestion. But it's involved with the experience of transformation on the digestive system. We experience warmth and light when we open the curtains. That's the fire element that we primarily experience. And then the air element, well, of course, wherever there's movement, the air element is present. So as soon as we started moving in the morning, as soon as our mind started thinking, the air element is involved there. And the space element is present in all the experiences. whether of spaciousness, whether of size, location, expansion. These are all experiences of the space element. So our interaction with the world from the Sankhya view is this subjective apparatus of the subjective tattvas is interacting with the tattvas that comprise the objective world, that is the tanmatras, the subtle elements, and the five great elements, the mahabhutas, space, air, fire, water and earth. Now, at the other end of the day, when we're tired, but if you've ever had an experience where you're very tired and you start falling asleep, so you've put your head on the pillow, your eyes are open, but you're relaxing into your bed, you feel very tired, but you've got clarity of awareness, you feel deeply still in the mind and clear, although you're very tired. So what's happening as we lay there in the bed and we close our eyes, we're still experiencing the objective world of the elements and the tanmatras, while we can hear anything, while we can see anything, while we can smell, taste or feel anything, touch anything. We're in the world of, we could say, the objective world. But the process of falling asleep, in a way, the organs of action stop, they stop activating. The point comes where the senses turn within, so the five senses, the five gyanendriyas, as distinct to the five organs of action, the five kamendriyas, the five gyanendriyas, or sense organs, organs of perception, they stop functioning at some point. And the manas and the manas starts settling, as we're falling asleep, there's still some faint activity of buddhi. At some point, ahamkara again dissolves, it's no longer functioning. And the last point before we fall asleep, so you just feel your mind is drawn in, it's just, oh, it's so yummy just for the mind to be drawn in. Your eyes are closed, you're just sinking into deep rest, it's so yummy. Body's just disappearing, mind is just sinking within. And there's a point where just before we fall asleep, the mind is almost still, it's just the subtlest activity in the mind, subtlest feeling level of experience. The gunas are still active, sattva, rajas and tamas. But tamas guna is very dominant because we're falling asleep. But if we've got more awareness on this occasion, then there's some sattva. Sattva enables us to have the experience of awareness while we're falling asleep. If we didn't have that sattva there, as most people don't most of the time, then we don't experience falling asleep. We just fall asleep and tamas, the dark cloud of tamas, overshadows it. But when there's more sattva, we experience falling asleep. And the final moment, we transcend the three gunas. We go beyond ahamkara, manas and buddhi. Prakriti sinks into Purusha, silent, pure inner awareness. Now, if you are able to maintain awareness of that process, as you fell asleep, Prakriti returned back into her unmanifest nature as the creative potential of Purusha. And we're just experiencing silent, pure awareness. So someone who's very aware, they will experience sleep, they will witness sleep because they identify with Purusha. That silent inner awareness is experiencing the body mind sleeping. Purusha, eternally uninvolved, is witnessing sleep. And if dreaming is activated, then of course the tattvas are activated again, and of course when we wake up in the morning we go through the processes again. So each day, at least when we are waking up and falling asleep, all the tattvas are activated and move into their function in creating the outer experience of life. Each night when we fall asleep, they return within. And of course, as we develop through meditation, we refine the body-mind and we develop the ability to experience all of the tattvas returning back into their source. Prakriti is experienced in her potential form as the nature of Purusha. When the mind experiences pure transcendental awareness, that is Purusha, that is our essence. Samadhi is that. So just notice right now in this moment your experience of the senses. What can you hear? And recognize the sense of perception we call hearing is hearing through the organ of the ear, hearing sound of vibration. That's the tanmatra, the sound of vibration. We could do this with each of the senses. And if you just notice the elements, what elements can you experience right now as you're sitting with your eyes closed? Because if you're having experience of the objective world, the elements, we're experiencing the elements. Time to complete this practice. Bring your awareness fully into the body and just again notice any of the elements. Five elements: the sensations of solidity, fluidity, transformation, movement, spaciousness. And recognize that our subjective tattvas are getting ready to engage more widely in the world as we open our eyes. We're taking your time for that. If ahamkara is not involved in the process of experiencing these sensations, all this sensory input and the experience of life through the five elements, then we'll experience life the way that an innocent infant does or an enlightened being does. No ego filtering the experience. They're not my sounds or my sensations, they're just sensations or sounds. No more sense of minus, no putting up an ownership flag with all the different experiences that come and go, they're just experiences. And if you are aware of that deep, quiet, silent part of you, to some degree, imagine if that was felt very strongly and that is your primary identity, then as you experience the world, you experience it as Purusha witnessing everything.
This is the enlightened experience. The mind is no longer identified with prakriti and all of its tattvas. The mind is primarily identified with purusha. So the inner experience is I am silent, unbounded wholeness, witnessing everything. Everything that comes across the span of the mind, everything that is experienced as awareness, pure awareness, witnessing it. So everything is experienced as flow. The effortless dance of life is taking place on the basis of this pure, silent inner awareness. No more lost in the grasping or holding, no more avoiding or resisting. We're just experiencing effortless flow. This is the goal of life. Just taking your time. When you're ready, you can either lie down for a little time or just get up and continue with your activity. Namaste.